Like to say good evening to everyone. They got me in this pulpit a little late, but I ain't going to hold y'all too long this evening. So I've been tasked with the topic of glorifying God. And our text will come from 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 16. So if you would turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16. And it reads, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." So when Peter says, let him not be ashamed, we learn that suffering for Christ is not failure. It is often faithfulness. Now, go back and let's look at let him. When it says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him. Notice Peter didn't say, let him complain. Notice Peter didn't say, hide your faith. He says, glorify God in this matter, in this suffering, in this moment. Now, most of us, thank the Lord, we live in America, but we don't have to face physical persecutions. But we do face some pressure, especially as our young people, to compromise. As older people, to compromise our faith. As young people, to stay silent in the classrooms. As older people, to stay silent on our jobs. Young people, to blend in at school. Older generation, to blend in wherever we go. The question becomes, will we be ashamed of the name we wear? Or will we have the attitude of how can we glorify our Father in heaven? Now, to glorify God is to reflect his character. Three quick points, and I'll get you out of here. Point number one, don't be ashamed of the name Christian. Don't be ashamed of the name Christian, because the name that we wear matters. The name that we wear matters. If you was baptized in that water grave of baptism, you represent somebody. You represent somebody. And the name that you have, that you represent, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. So we can't be ashamed of the one that died for us. But you know what? Jesus says something over in Mark chapter 8, verses 38. If you return your Bible to Mark chapter 8, verses 38. And look at what our Heavenly Father said. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Look what our Heavenly Father said. Look what our brother Paul told Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8. That 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 8, he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Can we share suffering with one another? Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely we can. Glorifying God begins with openly belonging to him. Now, standing for truth, also standing for truth without apology. Point number two, let your response point people to God. Let your response point people to God. I hate to be this person, but I will be. If you are a Christian, you're going to suffer. Suffering is unavoidable if you're following Christ. Now our response, that's a choice. How we respond to things is a choice. I'm reminded of what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. When we get phone calls that's not good news, we give thanks. When we go to the doctor and we get a bad report, we give thanks. When we got kids that maybe they ain't acting right and we're trying to work with them, we give thanks. When we got coins instead of dollar bills in our pockets, we give thanks. And maybe God will bless us later on to have some dollar bills in our pocket. In everything, we give thanks. In our marriages, we give thanks. You know, I'm reminded of one time I tried to do a little cooking. And I was cooking something. I was trying to watch TV at the same time. Long story short, whatever I cooked had extra seasonings on it. and it was a little salty. And my wife, she took a bite of it. She said, baby, this salty. I said, you know what? We don't have to eat this. Let's order pizza tonight. But she said, I'll eat it if you want. No, baby, I ain't gonna make you do that. But she was willing to eat that salty stuff that I made. That's what you call a marriage and a good relationship right there. In everything, we give thanks. If you look over in Philippians chapter 2, and I thank the Lord that this verse is in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. The problem is the world loves to complain. Have you ever been around a complaining Christian? There's some out there complaining about everything. Preacher go too long. We too long. It's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night. I just got in the pulpit 5 minutes ago. But everything is a complaint. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Children, do all things without complaining. Mom and daddy tell you get your room clean. Just clean it up without complaining. Take out the trash. Do it without complaining. Keep your grades up. Do the best that you can. Do it without complaining. Adults, stop complaining. We got to stop complaining, too, because the kids follow our actions. We got to stop complaining. Government ain't doing right. They don't need to complain. They're going to do what they want to do. We worry about what we can worry about and handle the things that we can handle. Do all things without complaining. Do all things without complaining. Now, when life is hard, patience, gratitude, and integrity reflect Christ. Your reaction may preach louder than your words. Think about that. Your reaction may preach louder than your words. My last point. See suffering as an opportunity, not defeat. See suffering as opportunity and not defeat. Trials can refine our faith. Our brother James will say, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, what about Paul, what he says over in the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 3? We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Tonight, seeing suffering as an opportunity and not defeat, take me back to one place, and that's the cross. It takes me back to the cross. Turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 23 as I start closing my lesson. Luke chapter 23, and we'll start at verses 39. We'll start at verses 39. But before I get there, let me get this point back. Let's go back up to first, start with verse number 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the midst of suffering, our Lord and Savior saw it out as an opportunity. Now let's go ahead and get the meat of this text. In verses 39, it says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, at that time, he didn't call legions of angels. He didn't stop the crucifixion. I don't know what that is. Somebody talking over there. I don't know what that is. But that's all right. We're going to keep on going. But he didn't call the angels. He didn't stop what he had to do. He said in verses 43, and Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus saw that as an opportunity and not defeat. Look what he did on the cross when he's trying to breathe every last second. Every breath mattered. Every inch of him mattered. And at that time, he did what he did. Look at verses 46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus took that. Nobody took that from him. He took it himself. And I just thought about this point if you read in verses 47. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Now, I don't know if that centurion was at the day of Pentecost or what he went after that, but he said something. Certainly this was a righteous man. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, saw suffering as an opportunity. Now, what about for us today? How do we see suffering? How do we handle suffering when we go through times and trials and tribulations and when we're on our deathbed? You know, I've never had that experience to see someone on their deathbed, but I've heard stories. I've heard stories of they're kicking and they're fighting and they really don't want to die. That says a lot about that person. Because we know as Christians, we're going somewhere. We got a place to go. This world is not our home. We're just passing on through here. This world is not our home. So how do we handle sufferings? I'm here to tell you, instead of asking why did this happen, ask how can God be glorified through me in this situation? How many times have we asked that question? How many times have we, Lord, why is this happening to me? Or why do I have to go through this? My answer to that is, how were you before you went through that trial, and how were you after? Because I guarantee you, how you started ain't how you finished it, if you made it through. If you made it through, you didn't start the way that you finished. Glorifying God isn't just about what we say in worship. It's about how we live when faith costs something. May we never be ashamed of Christ. May we glorify God not only in ease, but in endurance. Christianity ain't a sprint. A lot of people think it's a sprint. It's not a sprint. You're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to fall off. You're going to fall down, but you got to get up. This ain't the 100-meter dash. This is a mile run, 3,200, however you want to put it, but it's not a sprint. I said one time when I was preaching, I said again, if you want a fast life, you'll have a fast death. Fast living equal to fast death. Some of y'all will get that later on in life. And may our lives, especially in difficult moments, bring honor to the one who suffered for us first. Tonight, if you're with us tonight and you're not a Christian, we're begging and pleading with you that you make that decision in your life. There's great men here that would love to study with you. Glorify God the right way and not in vain. Maybe you are a Christian this evening and you've let suffering get to you, and it happens. I'm one that's standing before you right now that need prayer, because there's a lot of bitterness in my heart when it comes to what I'm dealing with on my job. There's a lot of anger that I have built up. And I know I shouldn't be that way, but sometimes in this life, when people put other people on a pedestal and treat the Christian like they're nobody, and then the Christian has to go and fix things. And I'm okay with that, because I'm going to do it, I'm going to glorify my Heavenly Father in heaven. And you think about your life and where you fill in the blank. But maybe you're here this evening, you just need some type of special prayer. Whatever your need is, please make it known while together we stand and sing the invitation song.